Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, what you're hoping for is that you have no new positive tests. And then you can feel confident that, you know, it's been isolated. Nothing's 100%. We all understand that. But the fact that we did test on the 28th and 29th, and the 28th came back negative, and the 29th came back with the two positives, I think if we were to come back with no new positives tonight or tomorrow, I'd feel pretty confident about moving forward.
John Mozeliak earlier today, after a couple of Cardinals, two of them test positive, coming out of the series against the Minnesota Twins, Cardinals and Brewers postponed earlier this afternoon. The plan, as Mo just said, play tomorrow, play doubleheader on Sunday. That would be the first of the seven-inning doubleheaders that the Players Association and Major League Baseball agreed on for the sake of scheduling yesterday. Coming up, we're going to visit with John Heyman. John Heyman broke the news this morning about the two positive tests. We'll get kind of the timeline and what he's hearing around baseball, what he's hearing around the industry about people's, you know, apprehension, confidence, and where does baseball go from here? What could additional hurdles be? And John Heyman, our radio.com MLB insider, joins us in our next segment. Bottom of the hour, Rob Fisher, our guy, is going to talk all sorts of stuff with us. He's going to chat a little NBA restart with us as the Memphis Grizzlies are in action. The NBA has been awesome. Fish is the sideline reporter, also pregame and postgame for the Grizzlies. And we'll shoot the breeze with Fish. So that comes your way at 7:30 if you want to get involved. Going to talk about what's going on with the Cardinals, what's going on in Major League Baseball. 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. So we'll take a quick break, come back. John Heyman broke the story of the Cardinals testing positive is next on KMOX. All right, back in on Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you. Cardinals hoping they can get game action against Milwaukee and tomorrow. We're hanging out until 8 o'clock tonight. On the line is our radio.com insider, John Heyman, talking baseball with us. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. John, we're all following along anxiously as you broke the news this morning about positive tests within the Cardinals organization. That story has developed. Cardinals and Brewers obviously did not play this afternoon. Walk our listeners through this morning and the timeline of the events.
Yeah, this morning I heard that a couple of Cardinals players tested positive and that the game was going to be postponed. So no game today. The Brewers lost their home opener, and they're going to make it up in a doubleheader Sunday. At least that's the plan. The hope is that no more Cardinals players will turn up positive when they finish the testing today or late tonight. And then play a game tomorrow, Saturday, and then two games on Sunday, which will be seven-inning games as baseball's transitioning to seven-inning doubleheaders, actually 14-inning total doubleheaders. So that's the hope anyway. Nothing in stone.
Yeah, the Cardinals, obviously, they're going through a couple of rounds of testing and are still waiting on some results. But, John, as you talk to folks around the industry this week, both on the heels of the Marlins and their positive tests and now today, what is the confidence level within the industry that the protocols that are in place are working and are going to continue to work? I think everyone expected at some point we're going to have positive tests, but how do people feel with whatever sample size we have in the response to those positive tests?
Yeah, I think people are a little bit nervous about the season. They went in wondering if we're going to be able to do this, and I think that wonder continues. The Marlins now up to 18 positives out of 30, so 60% of their roster is positive. So they had a spread, an outbreak, whatever you want to call it. The Cardinals were only the second team to have player positives into the season, but it is quite disrupting. We can see now with the Marlins what that's done. They're missing a week. They had just played the Phillies. The Phillies will be missing this week, and then other teams are disrupted as well. So just one or two teams having issues really disrupts the several teams, as it turns out, unfortunately. And they got to kind of do adjustments on the fly in terms of the schedule, and a lot of questions remain. But the main thing is to get the health of the players, make sure that everybody's going to be okay, and to try to stop this in the bud. We'll see. You know, now we have two teams with positive tests, so we're not close to pulling the plug at this point, but, you know, we're certainly trending in the wrong direction at the moment.
Sure, and fans obviously fear the worst and hope for the best, and it seems to me like there has been an instant almost condemnation of baseball, and without many data points, praising of the NBA and the NHL, who are just getting started in their bubbles. But you've pointed this out over and over again, John. There would have been no way that baseball feasibly could have done what the NBA, the NHL, Major League Soccer, what they're doing. You wouldn't have been able to do it in baseball.
Yeah, the traveling party is much bigger in baseball. You have a 30-man roster at the moment with several people around the team, so probably another 20 or so that would have to be around the team. So 50 people, it's 1,500 people, and you have one bubble. You got 1,500 people in one city, and games take longer, and this would have been very difficult. The plan, or one of the plans that they investigated, was in Arizona, and it was 118 degrees in Arizona the other day. It was 108 degrees, someone told me last night, at night. And there's, you know, basically mostly outdoor facilities there. There's one indoor stadium, the one that the Diamondbacks play in, right, at Chase Field. But, you know, you got 15 games to be needed to be played. I mean, you know, certainly could play a few games at Chase Field, but the vast majority would have to be played in very, very hot temperatures. I think that idea of the Arizona was to get started there in May when it was only, like, let's say, 98 degrees or something, and get going there with maybe a few weeks. But I can't imagine that they really thought you could have played through the summer in Arizona. The other thought was Texas and Florida involved, too. And, of course, Arizona, Texas, and Florida are three of the hot spots in terms of COVID. So I'm not sure that would have worked either. So, you know, there'll always be some second guessing, particularly if this does not work. And we're not at that stage yet. And I get that. And, you know, maybe it would have been better, but that Arizona plan would not have worked for a season. There's no chance.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you could fit ballparks into some of the Disney ballrooms like they're laying down the NBA courts. But, you know, you can fit a couple hundred writers in there during the winter meetings, but can't fit a ballpark
right
in there.
That is true.
John, as far as on the field, as we visit again for a couple more minutes with our Radio.com insider, John Heyman, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Let's talk on the field. What have you made of the games in this first week, John? I mean, I think my biggest takeaway is with all the hand-wringing we had outside of the virus of no fans and what's it going to be like, you know, once the game starts and I'm watching it or listening to it or even being there, it's just, it's still kind of baseball.
Yeah, I don't need the fans. Sorry, fans out there. It doesn't bother me. Maybe I'm old school or a seamhead or whatever you want to call it.
And I'll block you on Twitter.
Exactly. I don't need them, and I don't need the noise. They did pump in some noise, and some people like that, and some people like the cutouts and the digitized fans. You know, some of the cutouts I'm amused by. You got dogs or bears or something, and there's a couple people I know on one of the stadiums, so I was a little bit amused for a second on that. But I can do without the cutouts or the noise. The baseball's generally been pretty good. We had one game with some sloppy base running with the Dodgers, which is a great team. We had, you know, we've had some moments that weren't perfect, but generally it's been very good baseball when we've been able to play it, which to this point has been most of the time, just not the games involving the Marlins and now the St. Louis game.
John, is there one characteristic you think that will be most important for a team that, again, outside of health and fielding a team, yeah. One characteristic in this type of altered season with the different rules, with the roster alterations that you think will be a common thread in the teams that are successful?
You know, I've been saying depth, but that goes along with health. I would say maturity. The veteran teams may have an advantage.
Maturity could lead to depth if you've got guys doing the right things.
Yeah, you've got to social distance. You've got to keep that mask on. You've got to do what you can. I see a lot of teams still doing the high five and the low fiving, but we've only basically had one outbreak and then one team that's got a couple of issues, but the other 28 teams, even with the high-fiving and low-fiving, have been okay. I think more likely the problem occurs, and I'm not a doctor, I just listen, so occurs inside and, you know, or when the players, if they leave the hotel, that's a problem. But it seems like on-the-field stuff has really not been a factor. It's been okay to be high-fiving and low-fiving, I assume, because I see every team doing it. But, you know, I think the mature teams like the Cubs have had no COVID issues. I mean, that includes the intake all the way through. They're the only one. You know, that part of that is luck, too, because anybody can get COVID. It doesn't take immaturity to get COVID. Tom Hanks had it. A lot of people have had COVID. So, but I would say that if you've got a team with a super spreader situation, once the games have started, you probably weren't looking carefully enough to try to avoid it. And, you know, luckily at this point we only have one situation, but it certainly has disrupted the league.
John, final question. As we did see the league and the Players Association agree, I think rather unceremoniously, which I thought was a good sign, on the 7-inning doubleheaders, and the Cardinals, I suppose, if all goes well, will be, as you alluded to, the first to participate in one. Do you think we'll see more of that malleability, more of the, I guess, cooperation and maybe negotiation, as maybe things will need to continue to be altered over the course of this season?
Yeah, well, we're all in this together, and it's good to see that the union and the MLB honchos able to make a deal. They obviously weren't able to do that over the finances, and Commissioner Manfred had to mandate the season, unfortunately. So they weren't able to do it over money. But now that we're trying to play through a pandemic, I think people understand we've got to make accommodations. And look, the league has said that they're going to pay the teams the full 60 game rate, even if they don't play the full 60. And certainly that is the correct decision. They could have fought it, but they didn't. That is the correct decision. And you know, right now the Phillies may not be able to get to 60. And some of the other teams that are now missing games due to the outbreak, basically with the Marlins, may not be able to get to 60. And I think today they even said they were going to pay the Marlins. And I know they're not sure how upset to be with the Marlins, whether it was mostly luck or whether they did something wrong, but they're going to pay the Marlins anyway. So there is a little bit of spirit of we're all in this together, which is good to see. Not to say that there aren't people upset at the Marlins and yelling at the Marlins. I'm sure there are. But, you know, they got to investigate and figure out what happened. It might have just been mostly a case of bad luck and bad location. They came out of Miami, which is the epicenter of the virus at this point.
Yeah, my 101-year-old great aunt had, and is fine now, but had corona, and nobody asked her if she was at the club. So,
wow.
You know, sometimes.
Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah,
she's
a fighter.
Was she? I'll ask. I'll be the first. Was she at the club?
Well, you know, John, she was. And
very
She is now preaching responsibility. John Heyman is our radio.com and our Entercom MLB insider. Of course, you can also see him on MLB Network, the Big Time Baseball podcast. Follow him on Twitter at John Heyman. And Insider Calls brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. John, great stuff. We'll continue to follow along. And here's to hopefully just more baseball moving forward.
That sounds great. Good luck to you. See ya.
John Heyman joining us on the program. The NBA's off and running. What a game the Grizzlies had earlier. We're going to chat with our buddy Rob Fisher. All sorts of stuff, including how he was staying busy during quarantine. Developed a bit of a, performance art, a character, an alter ego. We'll talk about it with Fish next on KMOX.
Thanks, everybody, for coming today. It's a very bittersweet day as Hatchet Man is hanging up the hat, and taking my talents back to the NBA and Fox Sports. So an exciting day today, and we'll open it up for some questions. Chris, go ahead.
I've got questions. For Rob Fisher, joins us on KMOX, Sports Open Line until 8 o'clock. What's up?
How you doing, Chris?
How you doing, Hatchet Man? Glad you're getting back to work.
I'm good, man. We got our first game today under our belt, and nothing like coming back to work in the NBA, and you get 84 free throws, a 2-hour and 52-minute overtime day.
Yeah, 270 points. Every game.
That was the longest game ever.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was super entertaining, incredible comeback. Grizzlies fall to the Portland Trailblazers this afternoon. But, man, we're back. And I need you because I couldn't, I guess I could chronicle. I could use a whole show and kind of, I'm telling the oral history of the 2011 Cardinals right now in an 11-part podcast series. And maybe I'll end up doing the same thing for Hatchet Man. We've been talking to everyone about what they have been doing during this quarantine. You need to explain to our listeners who should follow you on Twitter at The Fish Nation, Hatchet Man, because, the people in St. Louis, they've got a little hatchet in them because you are obviously a proud St. Louisan, and you've had quite the last couple of months.
It has been. I mean, when the NBA got shut down and we were in Portland, Oregon at Buffalo Wild Wings watching basketball, well, we thought we were going to watch basketball.
Yeah,
and then it's shut down and, head back and don't know what to do with yourself. And, the off season always kind of comes as a suddenly and a little bit of a surprise and a little bit of a shock and, your whole life changes. And this, your whole life changed immediately in the middle of the season when you didn't expect it. And then you get home and it's not like you can run out and hang out with your friends. You're stuck at home. So basically to kill time, we just started building stuff, started removing trees and moving trees.
Dude, you were at Lowe's every day.
And we're building a putting green in the backyard.
That is
We built a little playhouse for the kids, a swing. We rubber mulched half the backyard. We're redoing the whole garage and just building stuff. So I've come to learn what tools are because I've never worked a day of labor in my life. And so I've learned what tools are. And
there are some allegations that, again, your lovely wife, Dipti's much more proficient in just about everything. Yes. And the press conference today, people can watch it at The Fish Nation on Twitter. It got a little contentious, but you're not here to dole out percentages. There's no I in team, right?
No, I mean, hey, credit to my wife. She does all the work. I admit it. I mean, I'm just there.
Selfies at Lowe's.
The worst part is when she's working her tail off in the yard and sweating, and I just look at and I get some idea for some video, and I'm like, hey, honey, can you take a break so you can videotape me sitting in the kids' playhouse? So, yeah, that was always difficult. But we've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed the time just kind of doing these things. And it's been more about killing time than anything else. And
your daughter Keegan's going to take all our jobs, man. She's a broadcast star.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun that she's been doing interviews.
And Colton was a very willing participant.
Yeah, and the little boy, he's a willing participant as well. So
you guys are building intended, an empire, a media empire, a construction and, you know, infrastructure empire. It's inspiring stuff because all I did were eat carbohydrates the last three months.
I did that, but I sweat them all out. So it was good for me.
Rob Fisher is with us. The NBA has restarted. Grizzlies fall today. You know, I said earlier, Fish, that just the way that these games are set up and the way that we're going to have wall-to-wall, like five or six NBA and NHL games now every day for the next couple of weeks, I think there are going to be a lot of people in the country, although, you know, there's a very small sliver that don't watch the NBA, but I think the NBA will get a bunch of new fans, the NHL will get a bunch of new fans, and we'll be overloaded now with stuff to watch. And golly, you mentioned how long the game was, but I've watched scrimmages, I've watched practice stuff on social media. I mean, this just the NBA, what do they do to capture the essence of their league, of their players, the personalities, the causes, just the importance of the games, even when they're playing in empty ballrooms in Orlando? It seems like they always kind of hit this stuff right on the head.
Well, I think what makes the NBA special is it's one of the few leagues that the players and the owners really get along, and they work together to make it right. And, you know, I credit the NBA a lot for this restart. I mean, you know,
didn't
when they
even really hear anything about it. It was just like, yep, it's going to happen.
Yeah, and when they announced it, you know, we were still like a month and a half out. It was the middle of June, and they announced that they weren't going to come back until July 31st at the time. And when that happened, you thought, well, why are they taking so long? Well, this is exactly why they took so long. Because during this pandemic, when it comes to sports, every time you could answer a question, there'd be two more. And the NBA wanted to make sure that they had all the questions answered and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. And they've gotten it right. They nailed it. And, you know, the bubble system and what they put in place has worked. And I think as far as the viewing of it is concerned, you're right, man. I think it's compelling. I think they've, for playing in a building with no fans, they've made it look like it's a big event. And, you know, I was telling someone yesterday, it reminds me of the Super Bowl. You know, you show up on, especially when there wasn't a week between the NFC AFC championship and the Super Bowl. I remember when the Rams went to the Super Bowl and covering the team, and they beat Tampa in the NFC championship game and then immediately flew down to Atlanta for the Super Bowl against the Titans. We flew down that same night, and when you arrived in Atlanta, there's a ballroom at the hotel, and it's set up to make it look like it was a huge event already. Just hours after the game had ended, Ram stuff everywhere, Titan stuff everywhere, and it made it feel huge and made it feel like a big event. And I think the NBA's done that with the look that they have, with all the video boards around the arena, with the virtual fans, with the team messages. I think they've made it look like a huge event. And then when you have players locked arm in arm during the anthem, and getting their social justice messages across, I mean, it's something that the NBA's never had a problem with. The NBA ownership, NBA commissioner, has always been in support of the players getting their messages out. And I think that's the biggest difference between the NBA and any other sport. They get along and they work together to make it right. And the players trust the owners, and the owners trust the players, and there's not another sport you can say that about.
I watched your guys' broadcast today, and I've just been so impressed with all of the local broadcasts that I've watched and listened to. I listened to a lot of the late baseball radio broadcasts, and, you know, our guys are set up in the booth at Busch Stadium with monitors for the Minnesota games, you know, and it's like a camera is set up in the visitor's radio booth in Minnesota, like they're sitting there and it shoots the wide shot and they've got the shots in front of them. And it sounds great. You would never know. And the lack of fans thing has been the last thing that I've ever thought of. You are in an enormous empty arena with Pete Pranica and Brevin Knight. What has that experience been like? What was it like? And give folks an idea of what it's like to pull off the broadcasts.
It was, it started off weird. You know, just because you're in this huge building that's empty.
Are you guys sitting courtside where you would sit during a game because everything's wired there, or have they moved things around?
Well, they sit courtside, but they're on the baseline.
Okay.
Because there is wiring there as well. So Pete and Brevin are courtside, and I'm actually up in our studio, which is up on the plaza level where we do the pregame and the postgame show, and I got a big monitor for myself up there. So the weirdest – I mean, Pete and Brevin sounded like they were there. And I think once they got into the game and once the game starts playing, you just call the game and you kind of get lost in it, and you don't realize you're really watching it on a monitor. I mean, the monitors are so huge, and we have two different looks. You have one look that's what's on the program, what people are seeing at home on TV, and then you have another huge monitor that's just a picture of the entire floor. So Brevin, as the analyst, he can watch that and kind of see things develop and see what's happening behind the play. So it's set up really well. And then I'm upstairs with a monitor. The hardest thing for me basically was not being in the same building with the guys, because when they throw it to me, or not being in the same room as the guys, because when they throw it to me, I generally have the ability to kind of have eye contact with them, see what's happening with the play and what's going on. And, you know, we can kind of nod to each other. But now just doing it blindly, that was a little difficult and got some, you know, got a little while to get used to. But, you know, once the game starts, it's really about the game, and you try to stay out of the way. So I think it went the scrimmage. We practiced a lot during the scrimmages, and I think that really helped. And today I thought, you know, if you're watching at home, I think you would think that we were there. And that's a credit to Brevin and Pete for sure, and the job they did. And, you know, I just try to fit in and get as comfortable as I can. And it was a little weird, but, you know, this is our new normal, so we'll get used to it.
Portland's good, and I know how close. It's what, the last 14 meetings, it's gone back and forth who's won between Memphis and Portland? I heard Pete say it at the end of the broadcast.
13.
But, geez. But the Grizzlies now a 2.5-game lead for the 8 seed in the West. What's kind of the feeling, and what are the different scenarios, Fish, because 66 games played already. And, you know, this just also has a feel like if there are casual fans, I think, I don't want to compare it to like March Madness, because they're certainly not like a Cinderella. I think that would almost be insulting. They're an NBA team. They're a phenomenal team. But with the players they have, the personality, the excitement, the style of play, I think a lot of people will fall in love with the Grizzlies and be rooting for the Grizzlies that aren't Grizzlies fans over the next month or so.
Well, they're young, they're a confident team, and they got a superstar in Ja Morant. I mean, he's a guy that fans will fall in love with. He's a special talent. We've had really good players and players that we love in Memphis, but we've never had a guy like Ja Morant. We've never had a star in the making, and that's what he is. And I think NBA fans will fall in love with him. He plays with such a confidence, such a focus, and such a that winning desire that the greats have, Kobe's and LeBron's, and that hatred to lose and that desire to win. He's got that, and I think that's what makes him so special. And then a young guy like Jaren Jackson, who's just a fun-loving kid who can go outside, knock down threes, and he can dunk on you at the rim. Brandon Clark, another rookie out of Gonzaga, just plays the game the right way and is really good. He can play above the rim. It's light years away from what the Grizzlies used to be. It's a high flying above the rim team, which Memphis has never had. So it's exciting to watch, and I think it'll be a fun brand of basketball to watch. You know, today, notwithstanding, now with that lead at 2.5 games, you still feel like if you take care of business that you should at least be that 8 seed and at least get yourself an opportunity for a play-in game. These first three games are important. Today was huge, but it's down to 2.5 on Portland, but their schedule is just murderous in these 8 games. So it'll be tough for them. New Orleans, the loss last night hurt them, so that benefits the Grizzlies losing today. But the second game's against San Antonio, a team that you can kind of put in the rearview mirror with a win over them, and then you play New Orleans. And if you can get them, you kind of put them in the rearview mirror, and then you're focused on Portland. So Grizzlies, you know, with the 3.5-game lead going into these final 8 games, they control their own destiny. And to me, you play 500 ball, they'll finish in the 8th spot. Right now, they just put themselves behind the game, though.
Fish, finally, what are you hearing dispatches from the bubble? And what,
I got good stuff for you.
What has bubble life been like for the people that you've talked to? And, you know, whether it's players, staff members, front office members, like our buddy Jason Wallace, who's there part of the Grizzlies media relations team. But how are people describing what this is like? Because, again, like, I'm watching this today, and it's crazy, like, that they've been there for, what, 3 or 4 weeks? And you're going to be there for another 3 or 4 weeks? And, yeah, you can tell your young reporters I'll let you go in 1 second. But, like, it's nuts. What are they saying about the experience so far away from the court?
Well, everybody I've talked to said the same thing. The first few days were really hard because the first 2 days you were quarantined completely to where you could not leave your room. Jeez. So those were a long 2 days. And then just the thought of the enormity of it all, like I'm going to be here at least a month. And what's it going to be like even when I can leave my room? But then they've settled in, you know, and I think, again, it goes back to the NBA. You know, fans can say what they want. Guys are spoiled brats. They make enough money, blah, blah, blah. You can. But they're living in conditions that are just not normal for them, first of all. And they're not normal for any human being to be away from your family for over a month. But the NBA did a great job of making it as comfortable as possible for these guys. They filled up the lake with fish where they can go out fishing every night. The pool entertainment. Apparently, here's a story for you. Dallas Mavericks apparently own the pool game. Mavericks own the pool game, and Boban is a guy who dominates pool volleyball. Go figure. I mean, he's like 7'8", so no surprise there. But, you know, and then they have other things, golf. They have so many options for these guys to do things. You know, once they were quarantined, once they were secluded, and once they're in this bubble and everybody tested negative, they're giving them some freedom and they're allowing them to try and be as comfortable as possible. So while those first 3-4 days were really, really tough on everybody, I think they've kind of settled in now. Now, what happens a month from now when you're still there and you're still playing and you still haven't been able to leave the campus? Well, then it might get a little more difficult. And, you know, you're going to talk about teams that have that mental edge, might have an edge when this thing's all said and done. Because it's going to take a lot of tough mentality to get through this whole thing. And, you know, that's why I really love the Lakers, because the mentality that they have as a team going into this thing. So, you know, I think it's comfortable for them now. We'll see how it is, though, when you're there another few weeks. But at least they're playing basketball now. I'm sure the days will go by a lot faster.
Yeah. I love the Lakers because after a 2-year stint away from the game, J.R. Smith brought back, you know, close with LeBron. He checks in last night. They're saying, you know, J.R. Smith, 2 years away, he's back. They recruited him, and he's going to be such a vital part. And he committed a foul on the inbounds play before he had even logged a second of playing time, which is just on brand for J.R. Smith. I want to see. That could be a reality show, how J.R. Smith is spending his time in the bubble.
It's always a great. I saw a great tweet yesterday. You know how the NBA players have their walk into the arena and their fashion. Yeah. You know, they show their fashion. Well, they showed they're still doing the walk-ins in Orlando, and they showed Mickey Mouse walking in, and they showed Goofy walking in, and then they showed Donald Duck, and then they showed J.R. Smith rolling in on his hoverboard.
I was like, the hoverboard is in the bubble. The hoverboard has made it to the bubble.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect J.R. for sure.
Rob Fisher, again, you can catch him on the Grizzlies broadcasts, and this is going to be a whole lot of fun. I am excited, and they're just such a fun, lovable, likable, exciting team. Urge everyone to catch the Grizz fever. Follow Fish on Twitter at TheFishNation. Appreciate the time, man.
You got it, Chris. Anytime, buddy.
All right, talk to you soon. That's Rob Fisher. What a beauty. That Grizzlies team is unbelievable. They are so fun to watch. I mean, John Morant he's going to be a superstar. He's going to be an absolute superstar. And he was going up against Damian Lillard today. Like, every single team, man. Every single team. Watching the Bucks and the Celtics right now, the Bucks have Giannis Antetokounmpo, that should be the MVP this year. The Celtics have, obviously, Jason Tatum and, you know, Brad Stevens, one of the best head coaches. Like, just every team, man. It's got stars and personality, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be really, really, really fun basketball. All right, so thanks again to Fish. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up a couple more thoughts on the Cardinals, hopefully getting on the field this weekend. That's next. Chris Raby with you on Sports of Atlanta, KMOX.
It never got to that level, and that's what I think was important. I mean, we've all read what we've read over the past week where, you know, some teams have been frustrated. And I think, you know, acting in a very quick fashion, you know, we learned about these tests late last night, and it was really hard to address the situation until the morning. And, you know, unfortunately, we had a day game scheduled. So, you know, having prompt reaction by everybody involved, Commissioner's Office, Brewers, Cardinals, I think, you know, it did prioritize safety, and that's important.
John Mozeliak, Cardinals, hoping to get back on the field tomorrow and take on the Milwaukee Brewers, and then hoping for a doubleheader on Sunday. But a couple of Cardinals testing positive for COVID-19 after the series against the Twins at Target Field Tuesday and Wednesday. Test results coming tonight and tomorrow. You hope that the protocols and the procedures in place work. And you hope that we can move forward with baseball. So we'll have all the latest news, all the breaking news here on KMOX and at KMOX.com. All right, a big thanks to Joey Vitale for joining us. Also, John Heyman for joining us. He broke the news of the couple of positive tests this morning. Rob Fisher as well. And we heard a lot from John Mozeliak. Again, like, if these rounds of testing come back clean and the Cardinals are able to go to the ballpark and play tomorrow and keep the two positive testees isolated and you can move along, then, you know, again, you don't want anyone to test positive, but then I think you feel pretty good about the infrastructure that's in place. You know, the fact that the Marlins, it's been isolated through their club, and you hopefully move forward with baseball and the first 7-inning doubleheaders, which would be on Sunday, and the Cardinals would be involved. So, again, keep it here on KMOX, and we will keep you abreast of all the latest. And let's see, Jack Flaherty pitched tomorrow. Today was a Jack Flaherty day that was ripped from us, but you hope that you move forward without any further incident. All right, again, thanks to our guests. And we'll talk to you tomorrow for Ameren Total Access for the Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee. First pitch tomorrow with Jack Flaherty on the mound for the Cardinals against Milwaukee will be at 6:10. That means 5:15 for Ameren Total Access. Again, this has been Sports Open Line. Chris Raby saying, especially now, because Lord, we need it. Be nice to each other. And until next time, as always, peace.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.